Ready? Let's sing. Go. Bob always misses his cue. Good to see you, Calvary. Welcome to the last episode of our launch series. This entire month, we've been asking some important why questions. Why vision? Why serve? Why lead? Today, we're looking at why missions. And so there's no two better people more qualified to answer that question than the two people who are standing next to me. And so in just a minute, I'm going to introduce you to them. Some of you are familiar with them. Some of you may not be. But we want to make them feel at home today. But before I introduce them, I want to invite all of you, those of you that serve on Team Calvary in any capacity, whether you teach, whether you help in the parking lot, in the welcome center, any of our fit teams that are out there, if you serve in any way or lead in any way, tonight is for you. Our team night camp edition is going to be a great time, great fun, but it's an honor of you to show our appreciation for all our volunteers, where you can just come out, have a great time, and be blessed. The Caves will be with us tonight as well, and so it's going to be a great night. So it starts at 6 o'clock, so be here, be ready to go, and you're going to be blessed. We got some surprises for you. Now, this couple we love so much. They have become certainly not only incredible ministry friends, but just friends in general. We love their heart. We love what God has called them to do. And to hear their stories, anytime that you have any time to talk to them, you will hear about the faithfulness of God in their life. That as they have said yes, that God has met them when they've taken that step. You know, there's many people today that get busy with life, and when God calls upon them to do something, they hesitate to sometimes step beyond the comforts that they have to do something new. This couple has demonstrated over their how many years now in missions?
33.
33 years in missions. These are our Calvary missionaries, yeah. And he will tell you later about what started as a year commitment grew from there. And so we are their church family. I want you all to just love on them, to let them know how much you support them. And I would say this, many of you support them on a monthly basis. I know Susan and I do personally. And if there's those of you that continue to do that, I bless you. But if there's some of you that have never been a part of helping a missionary do what they do, your giving, your generosity, your prayers keep them in the field so that they don't have to keep coming back to raise money. And so I would encourage you that if you're not giving, that you would. And even those of you that give, that maybe today you do something even extra special for them. So when you're giving above your tithes and offerings, just indicate Europe and the Middle East. Bob is the director of our denomination's ministry outreach in those areas. And so whatever the Lord speaks to you to do, step out and do it, because it impacts so many more people. Not all of us can pack it up and head to the field, but we can plant some seed in the lives of those that do. So put your hands together. Welcome Bob and Carol Kay.
Once again.
It's always an honor to come home to our home church. Bob said 33 years. Over those years, I've been asked many times, what do missionaries do? And I think now, after all these years, I think I can answer that with some success. I believe what missionaries do is they grow. They grow because they learn, and when they are removed from everything that is their comfort in life, when they're removed from their families and their country and their culture and their language, they learn that they can trust the Lord. And they learn that the one constant in their life is the Lord. And they learn that they can do things in the strength of the Lord that they never thought they'd ever do. And I could tell you lots of stories personally about that. And in that process, they come to a place where they say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for taking me out of all my comforts and everything I depended on, and taught me how to depend on you alone. And as you learn and grow to do that, you discover that you can be the Lord's hand outstretched no matter where you go and no matter what you do to the world and to the nations. And that's why missions to us is so awesome, to be able to do what the Lord has given us the opportunity to do. So I will let Bob pick this up and say why we love missions.
Amen. Thank you, Carol. Carol and I have had 25 wonderful years of marriage as of yesterday. That's not bad, out of 56. Amen. No, we celebrated our 56 yesterday. Some of you are laughing because you know it's true.
Carol said, you know, miracles are possible.
That's right. Yeah, for those of you that know me all the way back to when I grew up in this church from 8 years old, you'll keep your secrets to yourself, won't you? Huh? Thanks, Ed. Yeah. This church has been amazing. This is an amazing church. If you're just new for the last few years or that, you'll find that there's some amazing things in this church, amazing people. And as I grew up in here, I saw God do some great things. I always get a little choked at this church. I go to other churches, I don't get choked up, but I love this church so much. I love the people here, Pastor Steve and Susan. You've become great friends, and like you said, not just ministry colleagues, we're friends. And I've been given the task of wrapping up the series, which I think is really great, Why Missions? Well, I love missions. So I could say, why missions? I love it. I love what it's done, but I'm a little prejudiced about it. And but it's not really about loving missions. It's loving Christ first. I really had, and we have, to fall in love with Christ before we do anything, whether it's missions or whatever your area of service. We'll be honoring volunteers tonight. And just to know that you, first of all, you don't fall in love with the church. You fall in love with Christ. And then everything falls in place. And it's just been an amazing journey to walk through and see what God can do when you fall in love with him first. I fell in love with myself so many times, and it was Bob's plan, and Bob's going to do this, and Bob just needs blessing to do that. But that's not what it was about. I usually got myself into trouble doing all that stuff. So God's plan is for our life, and he's got a plan for your life as well. In fact, in John 10:10, it says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy, and I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. And that is really true. If you can grasp that, he has life for you more abundantly. And when you can get yourself out of the way, and it took me a long time to do that. I haven't really perfected it yet. But get yourself out of the way to a certain place and let him just take control of your life. And then he's got a plan that's absolutely better than anything you can come up with. And he'll bless you and use you. What's the prerequisite, though, to the adventure with God? Well, the prerequisite before you even start moving towards why missions is that you need to get to know God. All of us need to get to know God. And he knows a lot about you already. So we take that for granted. He knows all about us. He knows us before we were even in our mother's womb. He knows everything about you, and he's got that perfect plan for your life. And he has adopted you already. And he decided to adopt you in advance. So can you imagine? He already picked you before you even considered him. Ephesians 1:5 says he picked you for the adventure of life. He picked you out of that whole pool there to be his friend. And he said, get to know the Holy Spirit. And that part of it is more of a challenge for us, because the Holy Spirit comes in and dwells in us when we're just new Christians and just young Christians. But sometimes we reign, our old man reigns in our life. Our old spirit reigns in there. And the Holy Spirit dwelling in us is not a force like the Star Wars force, may the force be with you. It's not a vapor. It's not something that we try to conjure up. It's a person. The person of the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you. And if you let him take control of your life and flow with you, you don't have to do performances. You just have to let him flow in your heart. The Holy Spirit is not a performance. I'd like to read in John chapter 16, verse 7. If you got your Bible, you can look at that. John chapter 16, verse 7. It said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is your advantage that I go away. For if I go away, the helper will come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. I will send the Holy Spirit to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of its sin and its of righteousness and of judgment and of the sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to the Father and you will see him no more. Of judgment because the ruler into this world is to be judged. I still have many things to say. Jesus is saying he's leaving, and he's went back in 2,000 years ago when he rose from the dead and he went to be with the Father, and he said, I'll leave a comforter, and which we have a hard time sometimes understanding that. And so many times we rule and reign in our own life until we realize that the comforter is the one that gives us the voice, the one that gives us the boldness, and the one that moves us. Another prerequisite, I would say, is get real in your prayer life. Prerequisite to why missions? Why do we do missions? Prerequisite would be your prayer life. Not just a now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep, which we learned as a child, but a deep understanding that we can speak to our Father, we can speak to him, and he hears our prayers, he hears our heart, he hears about your family, he hears when you need healing, and he does all those things as you develop your relationship with him. I think we miss our prayer life sometimes. We think, okay, prayer is in the church, our prayer is before we eat a meal or something like that, and we miss all that constant communication. If you ever understand, and I don't always grasp it, but to pray without ceasing, what is that? Pray without ceasing. It means that you're in a constant connection through the Holy Spirit with God the Father, and that he's speaking in us and he's speaking through us. And he says, turn here, go there. Most of us don't have that sensitivity. I don't have it most of the time. But there's times when I just know that the Holy Spirit is speaking and said, do this or do that, and I'll do it. Other times I'm disobedient and I go my own way and I get myself into trouble. You've probably been the same route as well. But the Holy Spirit wants to guide us and wants to lead us. I'd say also, get real with your Bible. You know, this is a great book. And when you start to devour it, not just bring it to church on Sunday or your phone app, but really devouring it and really listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying through all those different writers that he wrote, because it's a roadmap. It's a manual for your life. It's a love letter to you. It's an encouragement when you need lifting up. So prerequisite of why missions and how do you do missions are all these things in getting in touch with the Holy Spirit. Matthew 24:14 says, kick up that first slide there. Before that one, Matthew 24:14 says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. In the midst of the difficulties of the Lord's followers are to the persevere to this the spreading of the gospel to the end. And it's to the end. Like, okay, I'm getting older, but I'm only 76. But to the end might not be 76. It might be 86. It might be 96. And why retire when you can do what I'm doing already? When he says, okay, you're assigned to this, Bob. This is what I got you for. It's coming together to the place where he can use you. And you feel comfortable in what he's doing to push you out into the neighborhood or out into your workplace or out into your senior citizen home or wherever you are. And God can keep you on that assignment. Why missions? Matthew 28. I love Matthew 28 because it's the go verse of missions. Matthew 28:18 says, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. That's something else. Go and make disciples of all nations. I mean, how can you do all that? Well, when we were assigned and left Calvary 33 years ago, in 1986, we said we'd go to Haiti. I thought it was Tahiti, but it was to Haiti. And so when I went to Haiti with my wife, I said, Carol, we can do this for a year, and we'll get out of it in a year. And then another year went, and then another year went, and then another year went. And pretty soon we were there for 9 years. And then he said, I got another assignment for you. I said, okay, Lord, we're comfortable. We can keep rolling. And so God just gets you rolling, And you might think that you're there for a short-term assignment. I think of some people that are assigned to some jobs that some ministry jobs that I think, I wouldn't want to do that. I think our ministry director at this church, Mark Batten, is one of the best children's ministry directors I've ever seen anywhere. And he's assigned, and he says, yeah. And Mark's calling is to do children's ministry. Well, I wouldn't want to do that. But Mark likes doing that. And God said, yep, you're the guy I picked. You're the one I want for this assignment. So I just love it when God assigns us to these different things. And he says, and go into it, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, whenever that is. We all like to guess when the end of the age is, but I just want to be ready at any time. If it's the end of the age next week, I want to be ready. If that's the end of the age, or if it's next year, or if it's 100 years from now, maybe my great-great-grandchildren will be part of that. But just to be ready to serve God and see what he's got for us. And he mentions, of course, about his kingdom, that his kingdom come. We pray that in the Lord's Prayer. That thy kingdom come. So we want to be part of bringing in his kingdom, thy kingdom. In 1986, when Carol and I were apprehended, I call it apprehended. I don't like to use the word call because then they say, well, that's something special, you get called. No, we were just apprehended. They say, knock on my door, Bob, what are you doing with the rest of your life? I said, okay, I'm working in the church, Lord. I'm doing this, Lord. And he said, no, what are you doing with the rest of your life? And that's when I believe that both Carol and I, she was sitting in the living room at the time when God apprehended her. And if he's going to call you or he's going to apprehend you, he's going to usually apprehend both husband and wife. He's not going to just say, well, you go, and then now the family's kind of divided because he doesn't want to do that or she doesn't want to do that. He usually will do it as a couple. And so when he apprehended us, and I never really believed that that would happen as it did, it happened very quickly, it all came together, and he said, dismantle your lifestyle, change everything to this and this and this, I'll give you an assignment, and watch what I can do. Now that I can look, I didn't trust God at that point. I thought, this is too scary, honestly. So now that you look back and you got 33 years of, oh man, that worked. Those people at Calvary, they did help you along the way. They did send support. This thing does. I really thought that I needed to start a business when I went out into mission somewhere and have something going on the side in case the whole thing fell apart. I'm just confessing. And God says, no, wait, watch what I can do. No, watch what I can do. Watch what I can do. Now, 33 years later, I can look back and say, God, you did it. You did it. You did it. And so I'm just saying for you, step out into what God's got for you. Step out. I look at why missions, and Matthew 13:31 says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in the field. And Jesus, he explained that mustard seed parable by saying the field is the world. Okay, the field is the world. And the process of world evangelism is to sow and to reap, or to sow and to go. And so as he had us go, we sowed. Didn't always see reaping, that's for sure. A lot of it fell on dry ears and dry ground, and people didn't come to know Christ. They were there, but he still said, go and sow. So now I look back again on 33 years and say, yes, God, I'm seeing a harvest. I'm seeing a harvest. I was talking to Naomi about Cuba. I love Cuba because Cuba's has had a harvest field for the last, well, since 1991, and there's been harvest going on down there because people have come to Christ and realized who he is, and we're seeing it in other places. Go to slide number 3 and 4. Slide 3 and 4. Yeah, okay, go back on that last one. I just wanted to show you the fields that we're active in, where there's something happening now. Not all the places in Europe are something happening, but the Ukraine, something's happening, Romania, Hungary, and in the Middle East, Turkey and Israel are five countries that are really kind of igniting. And next slide will show that Ukraine has exploded over the last 27 years since communism fell. Same time as Cuba. Same when the communism fell in Cuba, it was an explosion of evangelism. So evangelism there, next slide, has produced just an explosion of people. Our mother church there has got about 1,500 people that meet. The interesting thing, I was telling somebody that just had a break there, that on Saturday in the Ukraine, in our church there, there's 1,500 Messianic Jews all dancing around the church, doing their, whatever they do, their songs. And I thought, they're the largest Messianic church in all of Europe, but they happen to meet in our building there because there's so many Jews that have come to Christ in Kiev. Planting mother churches. This church is also a planter of daughter churches. So the mother church has planted 200 daughter churches. Praise the Lord. 200 daughter churches are planted across the country. In the last 2 years, we were challenged to plant 50 more churches in 2017 and 2018. I thought, okay, I can help them with 10, and they could do 10, and I could do 10, but they needed 50. And so God just went past my faith and moved and just kept moving. Another daughter church, and we're up to 50 now. So 50 daughter churches. Next slide will show that in 2017, last year, Pastor Steve and Susan went to Krushinka. Krushinka is a little village outside of Kiev, and that was the place where they were planting a daughter church, and God was really starting to move. Next slide will show that, you can't read the writing because I did it in the wrong color, but that Calvary has planted 4 churches. So in the last 2 years, this church and also with the Mandarin campus have planted 4 churches in the Ukraine. Krushinka has been kind of the highlight. Next slide. This is last year's slide, and I showed it to you, but next slide. And just meeting some of the people in those villages. Next slide. And the next slide. And I say, why missions? Because of them. Because of people like them. We have a elderly center in a village not very far from Kiev as well. In that elderly village, most of the elderly people would be Orthodox, Ukrainian Orthodox, even Russian Orthodox. So they've heard a gospel, but they've never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he can forgive your sins and you can have a personal relationship with him. So these elderly people have lived a religious life and done all the right things and that except receiving Christ as their personal Savior. So it's very simple to say, to have the completion happen and have them accept Christ. So that's why missions. That's another why missions. And next slide. Pastor Max is the now the pastor of the Krushinka Church that Pastor Steve was with last year. He's with the Orthodox priest there, and I thought that's good because in every village there's an Orthodox priest. We've had Orthodox priests that put curses on us for being there. This Orthodox priest is open to us being there, so they've become friends. So they work in the community together, and I'm thinking that Orthodox priest is going to come to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior someday because of Max, who is the director also of our drug rehab center. Pastor Max wasn't always pastor. He was Policeman Max. And so he was a policeman for the last, I don't know, number of years. I said, well, what's your story? He said, well, I got hooked on power. Then he said, and then I got hooked on drugs. He was part of the anti-crime squad. And so I guess he had the stash, it was there and everything. So he got hooked on that, and then he fell from fame and glory and ended up in one of our rehab centers. Went through the whole thing, got married then after that, started working in the rehab center, and now he's the director. Next slide. Max there in the little church that they've started right in the Krushinka village. Next slide. And so this rehab center is just down the street from the church, and not very far away, within a half mile in the village. And there's 31, I call them ex-drug addicts now because they've all kicked the habit. They're still there as residents. And Max is the director. I was sitting there with one of the other guys, and I said, well, what's your story? He said, well, my wife and I were career criminals. So here's two career criminals who've now accepted Christ. They're now pastors of another church. And here's Max, the ex-cop, who's now director of the, God works some wonders with these guys. Next slide. Next slide. There's just some testimonies of them. Next slide. And the next one, this is the building. And something, we're renting this building. There's 31 guys in there. It's half finished, but they're in two of the finished departments. Next slide. But we've had a miracle that's happened. So an anonymous donor came forth in the last month, and in that building that we rent, we now have a $125,000 donation to Calvary to buy the building, renovate it, and start doing, getting it all in shape. So this, the involvement of Calvary here has made a major difference to that village, And I'm hoping a relationship builds. I'm hoping some of you could go on a trip. I'll take you there. Pastor Steve would sure go back and see Pastor Max, and that we could build a relationship with them so they got your email address and you could have a personal relation. Next slide. I think that was all of that. Those ones. Oh, there's also one of the guys in Krushinka, a football player, one of the national team football players that wrecked his knee, and now he's coaching our kids in the church in Krushinka. Next slide. Next one. Yeah. So why missions? Calvary Church has always been participating in missions from way back. But you not only participate in world missions, you also participate in local missions, in regional missions within the province, within Alberta, within Canada, within the world. So this church is a world outreach center. Some of the churches call themselves World Outreach Center. You don't have to do that. You just call yourselves Calvary, and that's doing the job of evangelizing the world that needs Christ and needs a place. So why missions? Well, how do we participate? How do you participate yourself? You participate by giving your all to Christ and being confident in them. I want to just read a quotation. It says, "The Creator who gifted us with a world of options extended free will to us and allows us to choose whether to be actively pursue Him or to plateau in our relationship with Him." And many times we can plateau in our relationship, and that's just it. You just do church. And I'm just challenging you to not plateau in your relationship with Him, but to soar with Him, because He's got places for you to soar. He's got things for you to do. He's got a difference that He wants you to make in this community and in the world. And I praise the Lord that we've had an opportunity. Carol and I have had an opportunity. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." Earnestly seek the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You in Jesus' name that You've given us opportunities in this church, in this community, Lord, to serve You. Why missions? Lord, we know because You've called us into all the world. And Lord, that You asked us to make disciples of all nations, overwhelming as it seems, overwhelming as that call was. You gave it 2,000 years ago to disciples that didn't have jet airplanes and didn't have ways to get around, but You said into all the nations. So Father, we thank You that You've given us an opportunity to live in this day, in this time, in this place, Lord, that we can be Your servants and be Your hands outstanded. So Father, we give You praise and we give You honor and glory now, and that You will just raise this church up to new heights and new places where You're going to use them in Jesus' precious name.
Amen. Amen.
Thank You, Bob.